Well, praise God. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for 2021. Amen. And not just because we're getting done with 2020, although, you know, my wife and I were actually talking about this the other day, and it was kind of interesting. You know, of course, there's a lot of things that people would prefer didn't happen this year, us included. There was a lot of things that we didn't want to go through. You know, I'm looking forward to getting back to that place where masks aren't something that you wear everywhere. You know, I really hope that's not the standard for the future. But, you know, there's a lot of good things that came out of the year, too. There's a lot of things that the Lord has showed us, a lot of things about our faith that the Lord has showed us, a lot of things about the church that God has showed us, a lot of things about a lot of things that God has showed us. Amen. And how many know that when you get knowledge, when you get wisdom of God, when God imparts those things to you, that it takes you higher. Amen. And that you don't have to live in the same place anymore, that you can live on a higher plane. Amen. And I love that. You know, being a Christian doesn't mean that we always always exempt from problems, but it really doesn't mean that we're exempt from issues at all. There's no exemption that comes with Christianity. But one thing that it does do is when you follow a God that's higher and above all things, amen, and when you connect yourself to Him, you go higher and above all things, amen. And so their effects on you aren't as great as they once were. Their effects aren't as great as they are in the world or with those who have no faith. And I'm so thankful that God has loved us so much that He's given us His word that gives us such great and wonderful and mighty promises that if we stand on His word, amen, that we can be freed, that we can be helped. Glory to God. Amen. And just so you know, I don't know if we're on yet. We're having some technical difficulties. We're kind of narrowing it down to what the problem is, but being that none of us are really technologically advanced, glory to God, we are dealing with that aspect of things. And so bear with us. Praise the Lord. The people online are not online right now, so they couldn't hear me anyways, but we just pray in the Spirit that they'll bear with us as well. Glory to God. But as we like to, you know, the Lord showed me to start Facebook, doing Facebook Live, and the devil seems like not like that. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we just keep going with it. Amen. We'll keep having church. Amen. And God's got good things for us. But tonight's message, I'm really excited about to preach it. Amen. Tonight's message is called God Loves Corey, PA. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, and I've had the message for several days, but you know, even and as I sought the Lord today for the message, and I just wanted to see if you know there was more that He had for it or a different way that He wanted me to go, and it just like there really wasn't anything else. Although the Lord did share some things with me about it. Amen. Did you get that up and running? Awesome. Praise the Lord. Hi, everybody online. We love you too. Glory to God. You missed all the intro and all that, but we love you anyways. And glory to God. God loves you too. Amen. Praise the Lord. But, you know, he had direction for me. The direction was what He had given me before. And as I was coming down here, you know, God just put a few more things on my heart. So we're going to add that into the mix, and we're going to see where it takes us. Amen. Glory to God. So we're going to start in 1 John 4:16. In part of tonight's message, have you ever watched a TV show, a series maybe? You know, growing up, we watched a lot of series, you know, whatever various shows you watch. But every once in a while, they'd have a special episode. And in that special episode, you know, they would kind of go through, and I always wondered if they just did it out of laziness. Maybe they had some time off or something. But the episode was really just made up of a bunch of other episodes, you know, where they would reflect back on other things, and they would just show clips from other episodes. Amen. And so tonight's message is kind of like that, although I wasn't being lazy. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know if they were being lazy. I'm not being accusatory. But, tonight's message is kind of like that in that what we're reflecting on is some of the things that I've preached on in this church, but some of the things that the Lord has showed me specifically about this work. Why are we here? What are we doing? And going forward, and so on and so forth. And it's not necessarily going to be everything, but I just really felt the need to recap that. In fact, actually, the message I'm going to preach tomorrow in Mayville, I actually originally thought was for here. So if you're here tonight and you're like, well, I want that message too, you can tune in. You know, we do Facebook Live, or you can show up, or whatever you want to do. But or you can watch it in the archives, or listen to it on the archives later. But God, this was specific for us. And as I was putting it together, you know, I started realizing, you know, I'm kind of dumb sometimes, like in some things, like I don't necessarily connect all the dots all at once. And as I was putting the message together, I started realizing, you know, it's the first of the year, the first sermon of the year in Corey, in this church in Corey, amen? And it's kind of a visionary type of service. Amen. And I kind of like that because I didn't realize that as I was putting it together, I was just excited that I was hearing something from God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so this is where we're at. And so that's kind of, but there was these first few scriptures we're going to get into. The reason I say all that is to say this, is these are kind of, these weren't originally included in that, but God wanted me, I believe wanted me to establish these things before we got into the fullness of the message. So we're 1 John 4:16. Glory to God. And it says here, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. Now see, you can't know something unless you experience it. You can't know something just by somebody telling you. How many know that? You know, there's a lot of things in life that you learn just through experience, that you have to you have to be part of it, that you have to, you know, it's like a lot of people say, well, why do you go to church anyway? Why would you go to church on a Saturday night? Amen. And you, like a lot of people don't understand that because they've never experienced that. The same thing is with God's love. If they've never realized they've experienced God's love, they're not going to know that. But what it says here in 1 John is that we have known, praise the Lord, and have believed. Because they've known, they've been able to believe. See, you can't believe without knowing something. Amen. You can't believe in God without knowing who God is. Amen. And so we understand that, but there's proof to it, in other words. You know, there's a lot of people that talk about the love of God, but there's no proof really to it. And the reason there's no proof is because the world looks at it and says, that don't look like love to me. Like you talk about a God who loves, but then you talk about God destroying you and hurting you and taking things away and removing from you and doing all these things. And, you know, I guess there's ideas in that sometimes that are not completely inaccurate. In other words, like if there's something bad in your life, God will remove it. Amen. But God is a God of love. He tells us, he compares his love to our love as a father's love. He compares it in those standards. He gives us those standards so we'll understand his love. Amen? And so God's love isn't some weird thing that's veiled from us that we can't understand, but we can understand it through our human concepts of what love is. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so when the Bible says that we have known and we believe, that's important to connect those two. But also it goes on, I love this there that it says, God is love. Amen? And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. But when it says God is love, it shows us something else about God. And one of the things the Lord was dealing with me on the way down here is that love is not just something that God partakes in. It's not just something that you can experience. But love is the very embodiment of who he is. You know, if you do a study in the Old Testament and you see what God in the Old Testament, God had many different names. You know, one was Jehovah Jireh. There was Jehovah Shalom. There was Jehovah Rapha. There's Jehovah, you know, and they all had different meanings. One of them, I'll just give you off the top of my head, Jehovah Shalom was the God, I am the God of peace, amen? He's also the God who heals you was another one. I can't remember which one that was, whether it was, yeah, so there's a bunch of different names. I mean, there's like dozens of them, amen? But what we see about this, what we understand about it when you read that, is that each name is, it's like a part of who he is. So, and we see this throughout the Bible, that God would rename people to kind of, to show what he wanted people to see in them. Because names have meanings. Now we just go to a baby book and pick out a name, say, hey, I like this name, so we're going to give it this. And, you know, there's like trending names, you know, every once in a while. But back then it wasn't that way. God named purposely. God gave names purposely. They were descriptive. And so a lot of that can be lost on humans today. Amen. A lot of that can be lost in our understanding. And so when we lose that in our understanding, we can lose that understanding of God and what he wants to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. So when it says that God is love, that is who he is. That's the embodiment of who he is. You can't separate what he does from who he is. If you can't separate what he does from who he is, and what he does is very important for us to understand. Amen. And so we have to understand this, that when God plants a work, when God does something in your life, when he takes Jeremiah 29:11, the plan he has for you, and he starts forming that in your life, amen? When he starts bringing those things out, those plans that he has for you to accomplish, when he starts bringing those out, amen? It's very important to understand how to connect to that, amen? Glory to God. Now, in the next scripture I'm going to share with you, I'm just going to bring it up here. I don't want you to turn there. Write it down if you're taking notes. Look at it later. Make sure I'm not lying about it. Amen. But Romans 5:8. Now, this is a scripture specifically that God has given me when I was pondering why at one point, you know, why this work? Why do we come down here and do this? Amen. You know, when God first sent us down here, of course, I get excited about the plan of God. But, you know, you don't always understand it. When we first started coming down here, there was nothing natural that ever attracted me to Cory, Pennsylvania. There was nothing here that I knew about, nothing that I wanted, nothing that I was after. So it wasn't like I was trying to gain ground, you know. It wasn't convenient to get here. There wasn't, you know, there was all these things. It was like there wasn't, you know, and even as we came down here, in the first few months of getting to starting to establish a church when we were going to plant it, we were down here a lot, and I'd drive down here, and I would just try to get to know the area and everything that was going on. And one of the things that I noticed right away is that there was an awful lot of stinking churches. I mean, everywhere you turn, there was another church. And we did, and even on the outlying towns and stuff like that, there's a lot of churches. And I'm like, why would God have us down here? Remember, I've mentioned that before, and I would ask that. So there was nothing that brought us here that said, you know what, you need to go plant a church there, other than the leading of the Spirit. Right. Amen. And then one day when I was pondering that, this is a scripture that came to me, and I thought it was very odd, but then he started unveiling some things to me. So in Romans 5:8 it says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And this is how he connected. Number one, the first part of the scripture, God demonstrates. Not God demonstrated, not God will demonstrate, but God demonstrates. Amen. And so this one act that he did 2,000 years ago, amen, that Christ died for us. We all heard this story. We all know about it. Praise the Lord. And it's exciting. It's an exciting thing. But that one act that he did continually demonstrates. It's proof. You know, so when we look back and we say we have known the love, how can we know the love? Because if we believe in Jesus as the Son of God, and that he is our Savior, and that he has been born, that he died and rose again for our sins, and he has redeemed us, praise the Lord, then we understand that that's how God demonstrates. Is through that act and what he did. Another way I like to see this often is that God put it all on the line all up front. He didn't hold nothing back. He gave us Jesus. He said, the greatest thing that I could possibly do, I'm going to do for them. Now, here's the exciting part, because we all know that, and we can kind of get the idea of that, but we kind of forget what it says here in the end part of the scripture. It says, in that while we were still sinners, or yet sinners, or still sinners. So when we were, you know, and I got excited about this in Mayville recently, this scripture, and I was talking about it, the idea that when we were the worst that we were, when even though we didn't exist, glory to God, we didn't exist yet, God knew the worst thing that you would ever do, God still at that point decided that he was going to love you. And that he was going to demonstrate that love, because at that point, in the worst that you were, when you had nothing to offer anybody, when there was no good found in you, when there was nothing God looked at and said, yep, I want that. Because God wasn't looking at us saying, yep, I want that. He was looking at us through the eyes of love, which said, it doesn't matter what it looks like, I'm going to love it anyways. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's great. You know, that's pretty exciting that he did that for us. But God connected this scripture for Corey. Because I was looking at it and I was saying, Lord, why would you have us here? Why would you bring me here? There's nothing I want there. There's nothing that excites me about going there. And in the natural flesh, I wasn't excited just about going and giving up Saturdays now and doing another work or the opposition that can come against and all that stuff. I wasn't excited to do all that. But God was showing me something. He was connecting me something. He said, when you really love, when love is the embodiment of who you are, it doesn't matter why or what it is. He says, you'll just do it. Amen. And so we understand this is that if we're going to be like God, if we're going to do the things that he wants us to do, that sometimes our emotions are going to be detached from it. In other words, sometimes you're not going to have some kind of stirring in the flesh to be like, oh, I'm excited about this. One thing I learned is that people can get excited about anything for a minute. But how is it when you're a year into it? How is it when you're 2 years into it? How is it when you're 3 years or going on 4 years? How is it when you labor and labor and labor for something and there's no payout? How many times did God look down at humanity? In fact, the Old Testament tells us they always go astray in their hearts. And yet he's still. You know, one of the most magnificent things that I've been seeing in Scripture lately is even when I go back and look in the Old Testament Scriptures about God's judgment coming upon people who were far away from them, always in that judgment, there's always a way out. Do you know that? Every single time. He said, sometimes he said, like, you have really teed me off this time, but I'm still going to give you a way out. Because that's what love does. Amen? See, God doesn't look at the is there resources there? He doesn't care about that. What he cares about is the people. He cares about the plan. He cares about what he wants to do. Because those things come out of his love, and his love is the embodiment in that. So what is this? This is the proof to God planning a church, you know, and I don't judge. I'm not judging other churches. I don't know what they do. I don't really care in the sense of everybody's got to follow their own leading. Amen. But I know why God has brought me. Do you know why God has brought you? Praise the Lord. To whatever you do. It doesn't matter because it's all part. He's got a plan for us to fulfill. But see, if we get hung up on the feelings of it, if we get hung up on the thoughts of how am I going to make this, how am I going to like this, or how am I going to, whatever. If we get hung up on these things, we can miss what he's doing the whole time. Now, I want to, you were in 1 John 4:16. I hope you didn't turn from there. But let's go back to 1 John 2. Which in my Bible, I don't even have to turn a page. Well, I do have to turn one page. Praise the Lord. 1 John 2 and verse 5 and 6 says, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Speaking about Jesus. Now, there's a lot in that. Anybody walk just like Jesus walked today? Yeah. Amen. Glory to God. Can't quite walk on water. I'm waiting for it to freeze still. Praise the Lord. You know, Christ gave us a wonderful examples. He gave us one of the most perfect examples he gave us is that of following God, following the Spirit of God. Because we know this, and when we look at Jesus' life, we know that he was successful in life, not because he was God, but because he followed the direction of God. Amen. That's the thing that we know about Jesus. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do. And so we understand that Jesus did not perform his will, but he performed that of the Father. And because of that, he was not just a little bit effective, but completely effective, even over the course of only 3 years, 3.5 years. Think about what Jesus did in just that time. It never really went anywhere. Never went. I mean, probably not much further than Mayville is from Corey. I'm fortunate I don't have to walk, amen, especially in this weather. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, we'd have to start a lot earlier, amen, to head down here if that were the case. But we don't have to walk, but Jesus had to walk everywhere. He didn't go very far, but think about how outreaching that was. But it was because of what God wanted to do, where he wanted to do it. He's looking for people to be willing to go with him where he wants them to go. And in that, you know, see, this is the thing, and this is the balance I've learned. You know, I've seen, I believe that God is a prospering God, that I believe in the doctrine of prosperity. But I also believe that that doctrine has been taken way out of bounds and taken to a place that it wasn't meant to be. And I see these extremes, but one of the things that the Lord always leads me in is in the balance of things. The God is, we can't look at Scripture and not see a God who doesn't want to take care of us. God has not left us nor forsaken us. Everybody knows that Scripture. If you're a Christian, for 10 minutes you know that Scripture. He has never left us nor forsaken us. And then somehow we look at the life of Christ and how he walked, and we see here that it directs us to walk as he walked, and God and Jesus was always taken care of. You know, some people claim that Jesus was in poverty and stuff like that. I don't see where they really get that out of Scripture, except for twisting Scripture and stuff like that. And it doesn't really matter. Because in the rest of Scripture, what you see is, regardless of whether he had bags of money with him or no money at all, one of the things we do know is that if he needed food, he'd make it. Praise the Lord. If he needed to pay taxes, he went fishing. Glory to God. You understand the point. God always took care of the needs. Amen. And that's the thing that we can understand about God, is that when God does something, there's purpose that is farther reaching than just what we're doing, that there's greater impact that's to be had. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And now we're going to get into some more scriptures of what the Lord has shown me about Corey, Pennsylvania. Amen. Turn with me to Titus 1:5. Now, when I was, I believe this was when we were still in the hotel. And praise God, hallelujah. When we're still in the hotel, I used to go out if it was at all tolerable outside. I would go outside before service and I'd just spend some time praying and seeking the Lord. And in this time, various different times, the Lord would share with me different things, different directions he'd given to me. Amen. And I would get excited about it because it's always good. How many know it's good when you hear from heaven? Glory to God. And I'm a believer that we can hear from heaven. I know that we can. Glory to God. I would not be standing here today if you can't hear from heaven. So I'm so thankful that God still speaks. But always speaks in line with his word, of course. Amen. But this scripture was given to me. Again, it was, why are we here? That was like a question that was on my mind so much. Why are we here? And again, without knowing anything, I actually think that it was a benefit that I knew nothing about the area. Because in coming to an area, because you're led to it, it doesn't matter why you're there or what else is going on. All that matters is why you're there. Amen? So if God sends you, that there's a purpose for you to be there. Amen? And so if there's a purpose for you to be there, then there's something that's needed, obviously, because there's a purpose. Otherwise, there'd be no purpose. And here we find this in Titus 1:5. Praise the Lord. We see this example. It says, "For this reason I left you in Crete." Now, see, I read that as Corey, but no, I'm just kidding. Crete is someplace different, but we understand the principle. That you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I have commanded you. Glory to God. Now, one of the things that I know about God is that when he moves into an area or somewhere, it changes. Amen? It changes for the better. Glory to God. Now, again, I'm not judging other churches. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're not doing. I'm not here to even to speak on that. That's not my purpose in being here. It could be that what they add, they just need more because there's lots of opposition down here that just need another, you know, another minister or another church or another thing. You know, I don't know that specifically. But I do know that the Lord shared this scripture with me, that there were things that were lacking in the area that he wants to establish here. One of the things that I look at as I come here is I've seen some things. You know, Corey, Pennsylvania is. I've learned some things about Corey since we started coming. You know, there was a YouTube video that was produced by someone called the 10 worst places in Pennsylvania, and Corey was on one of them, and it was on for certain reasons. And I've heard different people talk about, you know, the drug issue, and I've seen the poverty issue and things like that. And I'm not saying that there's only that here, there isn't. But I know this, that there's, when God moves into something, he changes it. God has a purpose for what he wants to do. If we don't believe this, and we don't believe the very fundamental thing about the transforming power of Christ in a human, amen? Romans 12:2 tells us this, to not be conformed to the world. In other words, don't look like the world, amen? But be transformed, be changed, be turned into something new. We understand that if we are in Christ, we are a new creature. Behold, all things have passed away. Old things have passed away. They don't matter anymore. We stand on these scriptures and we get excited for them, because you know what? If you come out of a past like I came out of, you came out of a past of drugs. And you understand, with old things that pass away, you come out of failed marriages. You understand, the old things that pass away, those things aren't going to dog you anymore. You came out of depression and things like that. You understand that those things can't dog you. Those things don't belong to you anymore. Old things that pass away, behold, all things have become new, because that's what God wants to do. Amen? See, God is in the cleaning up business. How many say amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. I said God's in the cleaning up business. He likes to come in and make things better. No place that's been touched by God was left worse, but it has only been made better. Amen? And so the directive that I started understanding is that it doesn't matter so much that I'm here, it matters why I'm here. And when I say I mean me personally. I got the direction originally, but you as well. If you're here from Mayville to come help plant the work, then you're here connected to that. If you're here from Corey, praise the Lord, you're connected to that. It doesn't matter, it's not just me, it's not just them, it's all of us as a body working together, doing the thing which God has called us to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. And I love that, because, you know, when you look at the Mayville Church, I remember when we were first down there, and we got opposition there too. When we were first there, you know, and we got different kinds of opposition. We were trying to get the building, and they were saying, well, how many people in your church are actually from Mayville? And we're like, well, none yet, because at the time, none were. Amen? We had people from Sherman. We had people from Westfield. We had people from Fredonia, from Brockton, from Jamestown. Glory to God. We ourselves were not from Mayville, and yet here we are, Stanford. We want this building to have a church, and they're like, how many people from Mayville are you even affecting at the time? None. But of course, now we know that it's much different than that, that we have people from Mayville, and that the it's farther reaching. Amen? But it doesn't matter those aspects of where God brings them. You know, I started seeing church as kind of like, you know, we talk about missions. We think about missions in life, and, you know, like sending people to Africa or sending people to Brazil. I remember going to Brazil on a pseudo mission type of thing. It wasn't a vacation. It was church related, but it wasn't what you normally call a mission. But that's what it was, and there was purpose in that, and there was even greater purpose to be had, but it wasn't all entirely up to us. But, we think about sending people to other countries, but so often we don't think about the towns where we live. Praise the Lord. Do they have the truth, the fullness of the gospel? Because obviously, if God isn't seen, you remember the scripture we reflected on in 1 John 4:16, where it said, God is love, we have known and believe. But not everybody knows and not everybody believes. And until everybody knows and believes, there's still a mission that is needed. And so if you want to look at now, like, I don't want to want you to think that this church is just a mission, that it's going to be here or not, because it's not. This is we have staked our claim, praise the Lord. We have moved into town. We're not fly by night. We'll be here until God, unless God sends us elsewhere. But I don't see that happening, because God doesn't plant churches with the intent that they'll fail. Humans fail, but God doesn't fail. Amen? See, a lot of times people give up when the going gets tough. People give up when the opposition rises. How many know that anything that's good is going to be opposed? And I don't just mean people opposed. We haven't had people knocking on the door. I mean, we've had, unless I'm missing something or missed out on the memo, we've had very little actual, human resistance to us being here. Again, I don't know the hearts of everybody. I don't know what people talk about behind closed doors, but we haven't seen that. But what we have seen is spiritual opposition. We've seen, different kinds of opposition like that, trying to crush it and to put out the fire, praise the Lord. But how many know we're not going to allow that to happen? We have to continue with the things that God has us in. In fact, one of the things that was really interesting, Dr. Matthews in here, Pastor Dr. Matthews. You remember when we had him in here last year or the year before? It's been a whole year now, over a year. We didn't have anybody in 2020. And we're going to have him back again at some point. But, when we had him in, he didn't really know us. We didn't really know him. We just knew of his ministry. We were connected to the same people, but we didn't know of each other. So he knew nothing of us. And he prophesied over this work here. And we didn't even, it was amazing how it all came out. Again, not knowing the work, even not knowing, he wasn't even originally supposed to come here, but I asked him at the last minute if he would. I actually asked him if he would minister in the churches last minute, and he ministered, well, glory to God. So it was the last minute. But one of the things he said is that God has sent many people, and they've grown weary, and they've given up. Glory to God. One thing we know about this very building that we're in, and this whole thing is amazing. One of the first buildings when my wife and I came down to Corey, after we knew we were going to plant a church down here, we were driving down Route 6 and we stopped at this building. There was a for sale sign up front. I said, ooh, that looks like an old church. It would be great. It would be awesome to be able to use it. But we looked up the price. Of course, we're just starting off. There was no money to be had. There was no money really to do it. And so it was just kind of a pipe dream, in the sense. And then as we started being down here and being established, doors opened. And long story short, God opened the doors for this building, for us to be able to purchase this building. And in miraculous ways, the funding for all that stuff. And in doing so, glory to God, he got us back in here. But we didn't know at the time all the history that was here. But I started learning that as we went on, including some former pastors had contacted me that had been here and stuff like that. And we knew about the work and the amazing things that God did to plant a work here, specifically here. And here we are, all these years later, not knowing any of this and planning a work. So tell me that God's not in the details. Tell me that God doesn't want to do something. His plan is still coming to pass. But he needs people that are willing to go forward with it. And so as we go forward in God's plan, what we have to know is that God has he has a love for this area. Well, there's nothing here that would say go there and plant another church. God had purpose in that. And so if you've been coming here and you're from the area or you're here from other, understand this, that being connected to that, amen, connects you to the very heart and the plan of God for the area, knowing that he loves this area. And what I was seeing in that is that God actually, Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. How many towns are waiting for people to just say, I will, to the plan of God, that will labor for it, that will push through even when it's difficult. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Turn with me to Mark 16. I don't even know where we're at on time because nobody set the clock. That's all right. You were doing a lot of other stuff. Praise the Lord. Try to keep it. I'm going to go by that clock the best that I can. Amen. It does work, right? I think it's working. Hallelujah. Go to Mark 16. I'm going to try not to overburden you. But it is the first service of the year, so we've got a lot to say, Amen. Amen. Mark 16. It's easy to get started, excited about something in the beginning. But when the press is on, that's why so many marriages fail. It's the truth. Because it's easy to be excited about when it's new. It's not easy to be excited about it when you find out the truth about people. Amen. Glory to God. You know what I mean? Now, ain't nobody who's going on their first date that's showing them what they look like when they wake up in the morning. Everybody's different, and you all know it's true. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Except for my wife. She couldn't be here tonight, but I'm just telling you, my wife is so beautiful when she wakes up. I just, like, I'm just, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Mark 16, 15. It says here, and he, Jesus, said to them, you know, of course, this is the parting, his parting words to them, right? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We see the work of the ministry is quite extensive. And I'm not going into all that, teaching on all that tonight for the purpose of being focused on what God has, the message God had me bring here for this evening. But I want to focus really on the verse 15 where he says, go into all the world. Yeah. Notice there's direction there. It says, go. You know, because we could say all the world, and not all of us are called to go into all the world. It's important to know what you're called to do. But the directive doesn't change for any Christian. And that directive is to go. In other words, it's an action word to do something. Amen? Faith causes us to do. Faith causes us to move. If we're staying stale, if we're never doing anything, if we're never changing, you know, and there's a lot of people that come up with, I'm not talking about coming up with church programs. I'm not talking about coming out with, you know, what outreach can we do to reach more people. I'm talking about seeking the Lord, finding the direction that He has for you, and then going and doing it. You know, so many people, they're waiting for the perfect moment. You know, that wasn't the perfect time for Mayville to start another work. It certainly wasn't the perfect time for Mayville to buy another building. Praise the Lord. But it did, because that was the plan of God. You know, I tried not to buy this building. I tried to buy another building that was much, much, much cheaper. That's how I got into the whole process. But as we were getting closer and closer to it, the lack of peace was stirring in me. I was happy with a storm. Even recently, I was having a moment, and I was thinking, man, how great it would be just to go have a storefront again and just be right down in the middle of town where we could just be there and people could just walk in. But that's not the plan he had. Glory to God. What was his plan? His plan was right here. Now, I can question his plan and say, well, why God here? But what is it going to do me to question the plan? See, when we question the plan, we're not looking for, because we really want to understand the answer. When we question the plan so often, it's because, well, why do you want me to do this? Because I don't want to do this. Why do you want me here? Because I don't want to be here. But see, it's fine to question the plan and be like, okay, Lord, what do you want us to do? Praise the Lord. Our precious brother and sister here, I always want to say Melissa and Aaron, but if I say brother and sister, that messes it all up. Praise the Lord. So I have to say Aaron and Melissa that way. Glory to God. But either way you want to look at it, amen. Them, glory to God. We love them. But we know this. They were connected because they were driving by and saw the sign. And the sign which God led me to put up there, which said, God works on Saturdays too. And as Melissa drove by, she said, you know what? That's true. Or something like that. To that nature, she shared it. She's like, he does. Or he can. Or we'll go. Amen. Whatever she said, they're here. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so it opened the door. And if God did that to connect one family. See, that's how much God loves us. If to connect one person or one couple, he would plant a whole work just to do it. Because God doesn't care about the numbers. Amen. But see, you can get in your head about stuff. Now, of course, they're not the only reason we're here. We know that God has a further reaching plan, but they're part of that plan. They're part of, you know, what God wants to do and all those who are connected to this. Amen. And so that's even what we pray for. It's like, Lord, bring who you're calling. Bring who you've connected here. We don't know everyone yet, but I know what I've seen in the Spirit. I know the things that He's shown me. And those things are the things that we have to hold on to. Amen? Praise the Lord. But if you don't go, if you won't go, then God can't do. Sometimes, and this is what I learned, and folks, you need to hear this, because you might be sitting here thinking, well, how does this connect to my life specifically? Sometimes the answers are found in the going. Sometimes you're not going to know until you step out of the boat. Sometimes you're not going to know until you're walking on water that you can do it. Amen? But you got to trust the direction. You got to trust where he's taking you. See, these are the lessons that we found. And, you know, there's people that are trying to do all kinds of things. There's people that try to raise the dead. I am not saying the dead can't be raised. But you better know that you have a leading from the Lord when you raise the dead. And I would say this, your first leading of the Lord will not be to raise the dead. So don't walk into a funeral home, get some kind of unction, and start grabbing the people out of the casket saying, in Jesus' name. Because it won't go over well to do that, amen? Praise the Lord. But we understand these scriptures. They're teaching us, because it's like I recently wrote in a faith fix, I think. Jesus only walked on water, not because he was the Son of God, but because God directed him to that time. If Jesus had gotten out of the boat any other time, he probably would have sank like the rest of us, because Jesus didn't have some kind of magical power in his feet. He had the direction of the Holy Spirit. The direction of the Holy Spirit will make you walk on water if that's the need. It will make you raise the dead if that's the need. Glory to God. And there's so much to this, but we can't get all into it tonight. Amen? James 2:14. I just want to pull it up here and just write it down again if you're taking notes. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Works are attached to it. Amen? You can't separate faith from works. Faith is works. The reason you work is because of faith. Faith stirs works in you. So these Christians, they become Christians, they get saved, they get born again, and then they never do anything? You got a question, did they ever really receive Jesus? Because the very nature of Christ is to go and do. The very nature, now I'm not talking about, like, listen, we're not saved by works. We're not saved because of what we do. We're saved because of Jesus, but Ephesians does tell us that we are saved for works. We are saved to go out. What is that? Ephesians 2:10 or 3:10 or something like that. Glory to God. We are saved to go out and do. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Another scripture I want to take you to is Romans 10. Glory to God. Y'all get me so excited. I don't know what. I'm just, the plan of God, man. If it wasn't for the plan of God, I'd be dead probably. If it wasn't for the plan of God, many of you probably wouldn't be here. It was the plan of God that he had some kind of thought towards us. You know, I always love this. There's people out there, and some of them I love. I mean, there's these, apologists that I listen to once in a while. I watch, you know, I just love how they explain things and stuff like that. But one of the things that's kind of commonly popular out there is that Jeremiah 29:11 doesn't apply to the church, and where he says, God has a plan for you. For I know the thoughts and plans that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans of good, not of evil, give you a future and a hope. Glory to God. And I'm like, that just doesn't make sense with Jesus. There's so much in the New Testament about God having a plan of works for us to do. If he's got works for us to do, then there's some kind of plan. And if we're to fulfill that, even the Bible tells us, even in James, it tells us that a soldier doesn't go to war at his own expense. Right. Amen? It says even the Lord tells us that a laborer is worthy of his wages. Right. So at the very least, they're taken care of. Yeah. Amen? Well, he's not going to keep us to something, not do it himself. Romans 10:10, look at what it says here. It says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be what? Put to shame. Glory to God. You could say they'd be effective. We're not going to be put to shame for our labors in Christ. When we follow God, when our heart is for him to fulfill his plan, we're not going to be put to shame. We're not going to look back at our life and go, I guess that was worthless. If you did, you had no faith. If you can look back in your life following God and say that there was no fruit, that isn't God's fault. That's your fault. Praise the Lord. God always produces fruit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, this is good stuff here, folks. This pumps me up. When we study out salvation, we know that that isn't just salvation for heaven, but it's salvation in life. It's protection. It's all the things. You know, we talk about the angels having charge, his angels having charge over us, and all these other scriptures we love to say. Well, what do you think all that is? It's called salvation. Praise God. And so whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then look at, and this like, why? Okay, so why are we talking about this here in this message? Because look what the next verse says. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they have things put back into order unless somebody is set in Crete to put things in order? How are you going to know? Like, listen, this is the thing for my life is connected to those who have gone before me, those who raised me up, those who taught me the word. And each one of those was sent by someone. They were sent by God, but people sent them, glory to God. They sent them out to start the works, and those works are what raised us up and strengthened us and taught us the word, made me go from being a Christian who couldn't do anything to a Christian who could preach the gospel. Amen. Not because I'm magical or something, I'm so awesome, but because God is, because that's the intent of the word, amen? Glory to God. And verse 15, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring what? Glad tidings of good things. Glad tidings of good things. Glory to God. You know, I've said this before, one of the very scriptures that Jesus quoted from Isaiah when he was telling the people who he was, he said, I've come to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, however you want to look at that word poor, doesn't really matter to me, but there's a purpose in preaching the gospel to the poor, and it's not to say, look what you could have had, look what I got that you don't have. Preaching the gospel to the poor, whether it's the poor in heart, the poor naturally, what doesn't matter. The preaching the gospel to the poor, the purpose of the word is to change the lives that it's being preached to. The very purpose of it. So if you can find it over and over in scripture, if you can find the promises in there, then I guarantee you that it applies to you. Why? Because God said so, not me. That's why Jesus came to preach. These are the glad tidings of good things. Hallelujah. Some people like to stop at salvation. I mean, I'm not going to say the names, but there's some denominations out there. We love them. I love all of them. Anyone who wants to be for God, I'm for them. But there's some that want to stop at salvation. Stop at salvation if that's what you must do. But I ain't stopping at salvation because I have a God. I needed more than saved from my eternal damnation. I needed saved here because I wasn't doing so good on my own. I was lost. I was broken. I was defeated. I was without God, even though I had God, and so it seemed. I need someone to preach me to the truth to change that mess around. And guess what? It worked. And it still works. And it will continue to work because that's who our God is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then it goes on, verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. No, wait, yeah. They have not all obeyed the gospel. Praise the Lord. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Glory to God. Hallelujah. God has a plan. Oh, I know, it's verse 17 is what I wanted to get to. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Thought I saw that somewhere. Yeah. Somebody had the foresight to put that up there. Glory to God. Faith comes by hearing. You can't know what to believe until it's preached. And if somebody ain't preaching it, you ain't going to believe it. You can't know what to believe until you hear the word on it. But if you're not hearing the word on it, listen, there's things that God wants to do right here in our midst. And some of those things I don't even know. Some of those things I have no idea. Do you know any day now, I was just talking to Josh, any day, just before service we were talking, any day you can have revelation of something that could change your life. Right. You're just walking around doing your own thing, mowing the lawn, doing whatever you're doing. And all of a sudden, boom, something drops in you and changes your entire life. Yeah. Glory to God. Isn't that amazing? Yes. Any day. I mean, I don't know the people that will walk into this church. I don't know the people that will that will fill these seats. I don't know the people who will make this ministry. I don't know the people that will continue that will carry it on. Glory to God. Jesus tarries. I don't know who's gonna. I mean, certainly, you know, I mean, I have a couple sons. I suppose I could pass it off to them if that's what they're called to. But you know, that's not necessarily the way that it works. Glory to God. God has a purpose. He has a plan. Glory to God. I want to close James 2:26. It says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." If we don't move, if we don't do what God has called us to do and continue in it, the work won't be accomplished. Now, he can call other people to do it, and it's certainly God will. I believe that we're just one in the line of people. Maybe this wasn't the world. We weren't originally the ones that were called to be here, but we are now. And so we're here. We might as well do our part. Because I certainly don't want to stand before the Lord and say, you know what, you know, I got this far, but I just wasn't willing to go all the way. I'm sorry. I got, you know, I got sidetracked. I got deceived. I got whatever. No, I don't want to do that. Let's just continue on in faith. Let's be stirred. And so as we, you know, in Mayville, I preached this last week. The Lord led me on this year being a year of transformation. And specifically, not just a transformation into, oh, now we're going to be walking, talking gods or something like that. But no, a year of being transformed into God, who God wants us to be, and fulfilling that call. And I don't believe that that's lost on, I don't think that's just for Mayville. I think that's just for Corey. I think that's for Corey too. This year, let's go into this year with the knowledge that God has a plan that he wants to accomplish here. And that if we follow him, he will take us into that plan. If we faint and lose heart, we won't see any of it. But let's, when we come with the knowledge that any day could be that day of revelation, that every day could be that stepping over into that next thing, let's come with that expectation, because that's who our God is. Our God is a God that goes from glory to glory. It takes us from glory to glory. It takes us higher and higher. Amen. And I'm not moved to defeat by 2021 or 2020. I'm moved into just the knowledge that, you know what? If we survive 2020, glory to God, then 2021 is going to be a breeze. Amen. I don't know if it'll be a breeze, but I know this, that God is good. And even if it's harder, God will still get us through, and he will still prosper us as we go through it. Amen.